Good morning and welcome to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, and today in the program, we're going to talk comedy with Park City's very own Stacy Domalski and Tony Oros, who's also KPCW's very own DJ. They have banded together in a new comedy act called Dueling Cheese, and they'll be taking that act to Riffs every other Thursday beginning tomorrow to make you laugh.
Good morning. I'm Tim Henney. Then we'll speak with Shawnee and Travis Bray, directors of a new foundation that has just surfaced in Park City. This is about colon cancer, specifically hereditary colon cancer. We'll talk with them about a fundraiser that features a 21-day commitment that every one of us can participate in.
And then Dr. Brad Lester of Mountain Sage Natural Health. He'll be in to talk about naturopathic medicine, a lunchtime seminar they're holding, and also how the Senate voted that this week is the first ever National Naturopathic Medicine Week. So that's a big thing for them. This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
In the cycle of life, we all go through changes, and menopause is one of them. At Intermountain Park City Specialty Clinic, our OBGYNs, Drs. Janine Falk and Lorraine Sabella, care for women at all stages of life. 435-658-7400. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak here with Tim Henney. Well, what makes good comedy? What makes us chuckle or produce that deep belly laughter? Our next guests hope that they incite deep belly laughter when they entertain their audience.
That's my bar right there for 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, you're going to tell us all about it. And joining us, Tony Oros and Stacy Domalski, they're part of a new comedy team called Dueling Cheese. That's not Dueling Cheeses, but
singular.
Together we are one big cheese. Yeah.
One curd.
Very good. And so they're taking this somewhat unscripted comedy act to Riffs every other week. It's a radio show of sorts, and we'll get them to explain just that. Good morning to both of you, Tony.
Hi.
And Stacy.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Stacy, why don't you start with this? Because I know you've been doing comedy for a long time in a variety of forums. Mm-hmm. And what do you think makes good comedy?
I think putting two things together that aren't necessarily what you would think would go together. You know, something like along the lines of
peanut butter and bananas?
Oxymorons. Oh, I like peanut butter and bananas.
We're oxymorons.
I think more like military intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah, so you put two things together that are not necessarily
jumbo shrimp
going together, and then you get a chuckle out of that.
So sometimes I'll watch comedy on TV and the audience is cracking up the deep belly laughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm not chuckling at all.
Because you're not there.
It's okay.
It's more in tune when you're actually there and you can – and when people laugh, it's infectious, and then you just – it kind of takes on a life of its own and it rolls along. So live comedy is always much more fun.
How did you two connect? Was it through comedy or was it through something else?
It was through books.
It was through books, and then it was actually through here. I started working on a self-published book a couple years ago, and I picked her brain because I knew that Stacy had done at least one, and that was probably your second at the time. Mm-hmm. So started picking her brain on the technical side of self-publishing, and then over more meetings, we started to realize we had a bit of a comedic rapport and some similar worldviews. And then one day after a meeting about one of the 12 dozen balls we have in the air at any given time, I was about to come and do my biweekly Sunday volunteer shift here at KPCW, and I said, "Hey, you got anything to plug? Come on in, plug for 10 minutes." And that 10 minutes turned into the whole 3-hour shift, which was great for a few weeks there, until a couple people on one show called up and said, "Excuse, you guys going to play any music at any point today? And we're all, wasn't planning on it, but we certainly are here to please. So then we just decided to take the radio format to A, we're going to start podcasting, and B, put it in a live format, because like Stacey said, a lot of what works comedically is interaction with a live room, and the room at Riffs only holds 50, 60 people, and it's just going to be perfect for that, we think.
And Tony, have you done comedy before? Because Stacey, that's your
my
area.
Thing, yeah. Yeah.
That's that. I not directly, not in the traditional sense, but for the last 10 years or so, I've done not only solo work as a entertainer nightly in different bars and wherever restaurants, but also the last 10 years, my company, Park City Productions, has done wig and costume production shows that you do in Vegas, and we do it weekly up in Ogden. For a while, I did it weekly in Salt Lake, where it's genres, it's costumes, it's wigs, it's spandex, it's just, blacking your teeth out when you're doing the Southern rock band. And the most fun, because I don't write songs. What I do is I do cover tunes. So if I'm doing any specific genre, I create a character, and then that's all ad lib between songs. A lot of people come just to see the music, but the most enjoyable thing for me is the ad lib in between. And some of my musicians are quick on the interaction with me and with the crowd. But, working with Stacey, I get to set the music part of my head aside and just work on the back and forth.
And so you brought kind of the whole radio concept, the two of you sitting and doing a radio show into this idea. And Stacey, you brought the comedy into the idea. Have you done radio before?
I have done. Well, I've done a lot of radio here.
Right. And then but besides interviews.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, yeah. I did a lot of radio. I never had my own show or anything like Tony did, but I was on the radio a lot as a guest.
And was it easy to blend the two? Are you finding that it's pretty synergistic?
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting when we were in here laughing, and when you're doing radio, you, in this town, you could assume at any given moment that there's, thousands of people listening or dozens of people listening.
Or one person listening.
So if we're having interactions and it's working for us, we're kind of oblivious to what the reactions out around town are, but she especially, because she lives directly in town and I'm way out in Siberia, but she was getting people approaching her and going, what are you guys doing in there?
Yeah, in fact,
in a good way.
A lot of people said, a few people said, I didn't know Tony was so funny. I mean, they know you from music, but they didn't know, like, from Prime Steakhouse or...
Well, when I'm doing that, it's pretty much song, short interaction, and people are eating dinner. You don't want to be obtrusive, but with the louder, rowdier shows in different venues, then I could do the shtick. And people that know my music shows, they understand that I like to. And one of the reasons that I started writing books and comedy is that every once in a while, no matter how funny you are between songs, there's going to be one drunk in the back that says, "Shut up and sing." Kind of like the people that called in to our radio show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, the reactions are negative and positive. It's all
and
over
so,
the board.
And so the two of you, I mean, obviously there's great synergy here because you think that this is funny enough to take on the road and or take to Riffs mm-hmm. on the road, oh, on the radio.
We are going down probably to Vegas in a couple weeks.
Oh, great. So so what works? You say it's fairly unscripted, mm-hmm. but you must say, hey, tonight let's talk about, is it current events? Is it politics?
Well, it's kind of like you and Tim.
Like we have a little script
here.
Yeah,
we're kind of shooting from the hip, just like you guys. In one of our promos, I said it's like Nichols and May, but with cell phones. So it's an updated version of what was comedic radio, and maybe even a little Burns and Allen, but more updated than that. And so in the world right now of bitter commentary, TV and radio and all of that, this is more discourse. I mean, it's a kind of a he said, she said thing where there's two different points of view that maybe not agree, but disagree in a comedic way. And you can tell there's still a respect and there's still a friendship there, but it doesn't go.
Is there? Oh, yeah.
It doesn't go off the rails. On the air,
Right, right. Okay, so, but it's a radio show, so you're taping it for your podcast as you're performing it live with a very large, you hope, audience.
Videotaping, audio taping for podcast and for a couple other ventures that we, again, we're juggling a lot of things because a lot of things are opening up for us and they're all seeming to be fun right now. Mm-hmm. I actually just turned down an offer to do another music gig because it's like, I'd rather focus on doing this. So, but we're working on a book too, a collective book, Dueling Cheese Volume 1, Random Curds. And it'll just be various musings and stupidity.
Well, we both have a big Facebook following. He more than me. My big deal is on Twitter because I like to post.
And blogging too.
And blogging. I have a really popular comedy blog called From Nonsense to Mom Sense. And so we both have our followings, and we post these little quippy, funny, little jokey things. And between the two of us, probably have well over 1,000 of these little jokey things. So we wanted to put together a book of these of funny quips and sayings, and maybe organize them by category or whatever. And we've been working on that too.
Okay, so let's get to Riffs tomorrow night, and that will begin every other Thursday at Riffs. You'll be doing this. What time does it start?
Doors at 7, show at 8. The format is roughly 45 minutes of Stacy and I on stage, headphones, microphone, live old school, old time radio. Mm-hmm. It's like Prayer Home Companion for people with a pulse. And then 45 minutes, we're going back and forth. Then we're going to alternate a different guest in episode, and this first week is going to be Guy Seidel, who's a stand-up that works a lot around the Intermountain West and a bit in California and Vegas. And he and I have known each other for a while, but Stacy just kind of met him. So what we're going to do is when we bring in one of Stacy's improv partners down the line or comedy writing partners, I'm going to interview them to make it a little fresher so it's not – two people that have known each other for 100 years. And tomorrow, Stacy's going to interview Guy for the second half of the segment. And in the middle, we'll have a little intermission where we all mingle, and we encourage everybody to, you know, BYOB and brown bag it, especially if it's Wasatch beers.
Okay, great.
There's a shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to last year when Paula Poundstone came and performed at the Eccles, she is so brilliant. And I sat there, you know, she does this interaction with the audience, usually the poor sucker in the front row, the guy who owns Del Taco, right?
Yeah, oh no,
it was really funny. But there is this interaction. I thought it must be staged. It must be somehow scripted, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, wondering about your interaction with the audience. Will that take place?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, we're going to have a request line. So there will be a phone that will be passed around the room. So if you want to call into the show, we'll take your call. But you got to use the phone.
Yeah, okay. We'll have a phone on stage. So they have to stand up and say, yeah, I'd like to know.
I'd like you guys to shut up and play some music. That's probably going to be the first one. There will be – and again, that part of it we're going to keep organic as well. The great thing about Park City is we might know – half the audience, we might know 10%, we might know 90%. And they might know us, and they might be there with big question marks hanging over their heads.
When you get involved in organic, impromptu comedy, do you ever find yourself stuck? Have you run into that yet? Or what do you do when, I mean, Stacy, maybe this is for you.
Yeah, answer that. I've got nothing. I've got nothing.
I prefer it. I come from a background. I studied with the Groundlings, with the Fault Line Players, and then we had Off the Top Comedy here like 10 years ago here in town. And I prefer improv. I don't mind doing the stand-up thing where you script it and you hone it and you do the same routine over and over and over for many years.
Well, what is it about the improv that you like? I mean, because there must be those times. Maybe there aren't those times where you just kind of go, I got nothing to say.
Well, Lynn, you've known me most of my adult life. Have I ever had nothing to say? I
seldom. Seldom.
Yeah.
So it takes a certain
I think it's personality. A personality. Yeah. I will say this. I am better thinking on my feet. And he'll attest to this. I overthink. So if I am put into a position where I just have to go, that comes out
so
better than if I sit in there.
Instinctive. You're better when you're being instinctive and responding in the moment
I'm
to whatever.
I'm more intuitive and instinctive, But if I have to – if somebody says, here, go and think about this for an hour, I'll come back with 10 scenarios why it won't work.
What about you, Tony? Do you have any trepidation looking at this? What's coming at you?
Tim, I have trepidation every time I put a microphone in front of my face.
Right.
almost every night the last decade and a half, there's always got to be that element of fear. Musically, with me, a lot of times it's like, oh, am I going to forget lyrics? Because I got, on any given night, I'll be doing 30, 40, 50 songs, and I rarely have, a cheat sheet or anything. Is it sometimes you wake up in the morning and wonder if your voice is going to hit the, hey, I got to sing Journey and Guns N' Roses tonight. Is my voice going to be there? So there's always that fear when I walk out the door every day. So this is a different challenge, but I've been wanting different challenges. So
considering you're addicted to adrenaline, I suppose is what that fear produces, and it probably is what makes the words come out of your mouth.
It is, because you got to say something to fill the void. But the one thing I do want to add. Is that in improv, it is kind of like a tennis match. And I have been on stage with people who freeze up and then you think, oh, man, I got to, do it for both of us. But what I found on the radio when we were on his show together, I would throw something out there thinking it would just die. It's funny, but he wouldn't know what to do with it. And then he would hit it back. And I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. And then I would, can you top this? And it just would keep going. And that was fun. It is kind of like an intellectual, verbal, athletic match of some sort.
And then we had people around town, of course, by gender, taking sides.
Yeah, well, calling
I me. Thought you got the best of Stacy, but she was saying at the market that she was getting the best of you.
Yeah. So it was stuff like we had people calling in and getting involved with the conversation, too, saying, oh, boy, she's really kicking your behind, so I thought I should call in and help you with this or something, and it was really fun. It got the community involved.
Excellent. Well, give these two, this dynamic duo here, comedy team Dueling Cheese, give them a try tomorrow night, Thursday. Doors open at 7, show time at 8 o'clock. They'll be doing it every other Thursday. It's the new radio show. What is the title of it exactly?
The Riffs Radio Hour.
Riffs.
It's at Riffs Acoustic Music right there on Iron Horse right across from Windy Ridge.
And for tickets, or you just show up?
Well, you can just show up, but since it only fits, 50, 55 people
tops,
or so, and I only have 20 friends, so 647-1940 is the number at Riffs, and he does suggest calling in advance. But if you want to sneak in at the last minute, doors at 7, show from 8 till 10-ish. It's the Riffs Radio Hour, but it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. We're not good at math.
Yeah.
Very good. Tony and Stacy, best of luck with this new endeavor, and have a great time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
I hope you produce belly laughter.
I hope so, too.
This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with Shawnee and Travis Bray. They're here to talk about a new 21-day challenge. It's a fundraiser, but it's there to help you, and it's a fundraiser for hereditary colon cancer. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Eric Karshner, Assistant General Manager of Park Meadows Country Club, sponsor of The Mountain Life on KPCW. Park Meadows Country Club is the only in-town private country club just minutes from historic Main Street. Golf, social, and dining memberships are available. 649-2460 or on the web at parkmeadowscc.com.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm John Wells.
Join us Thursday at 9 a.m. for Cool Science Radio.
We'll be speaking with David Epstein, who's written a fascinating book, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance.
Then patterned after the strength of a spider web, a new bioproduct that may someday form durable artificial ligaments.
Cool Science Radio, Thursday, 9 a.m.
Only in Park City, only on KPCW. Brought to you by 350 Main and the Spur Bar and Grill.
As the world evolves, so do our roles. At the Intermountain, Park City, Bonanza, and Round Valley Clinics, we have defined ours for you. I'm Dr. Lisa Saturnino, and excited to announce that the Bonanza Clinic is now a full-time Instacare, exclusively for the urgent medical needs of our community. Our great partners at the Round Valley Clinic will now be the primary care experts. We are happy to provide expert care close to home. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, I'm going to start off with this really difficult word. It's called familial adenomatous polyposis.
Nice job.
Or FAP.
Man.
That was not a nice job, but thanks for saying so anyway. Basically, what it is hereditary colon cancer. Now, to my understanding, it affects about 5% of those who are diagnosed with colon cancer have this type of cancer, and it's passed down through generations through our DNA. If it has occurred in your family, you have a 50% chance of getting it and getting polyps at a very young age. Joining us in our studio are two people who have recently moved to Park City and have started a foundation to help raise awareness for FAP. I'm not going to try that again. It's Shawnee and Travis Bray, and welcome to both of you. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
So you moved here recently from Chicago, is that right?
Correct.
And you came here largely because of the proximity to the Huntsman Cancer Institute mm-hmm. and the support they're offering you as you forge this new foundation. So, Shawnee, why don't you talk a little bit about the foundation and why you started it and kind of what your endeavor is.
Okay. Well, Travis, my husband, is third generation FAP, and he was very fortunate because he knew growing up that he would have to have a colectomy, so he'd have to have his colon removed, which happened at age 15. So because of his early diagnosis, he's led a healthy life up until 3 months after we got married, and then he went through a very difficult period health-wise. It was really hard on both of us, especially Travis. It was very scary considering that his grandfather died at around his age from the complications with the disease. So following that period and during that period, we realized the lack of resources that are available for patients with hereditary colon cancer and their families. So once he got better, there were a lot of talks about quality of life and purpose in life, and we decided to turn our attention to helping others who have the disease.
Now, I've heard of many people in this community getting colon cancer, and until I met the two of you, I had never heard of hereditary colon cancer before. And from what I've read, it affects between 1 and 5% of all colon cancers are hereditary. Is that right, Travis?
Actually, there's much more than 5% are hereditary. Just for the familial adenomatous or adenomatous polyposis, and you actually did a really good job of pronouncing that. There's a really small percentage of people that can actually say it. It ranging about 2 to 3% of the cancers by themselves, and then there's actually a larger. There's several other diseases that also cause hereditary cancer, including Lynch syndrome, which is a little bit more prevalent.
And that's up to 10% in total. If you add all of the hereditary colon cancer syndromes together, it's up to 10% of those with colon cancer have a hereditary component.
Were you running the foundation in Chicago, or is this a new venture that you're starting in conjunction with your move to Park City?
We are 1 year old.
1 year old, yeah. Okay. And what prompted the move to Park City? It was the connection to the Huntsman Center?
Largely. Yeah. Well, so we both really enjoyed the outdoors. We were living in California before we lived in Chicago, and we were really wanting to move out west. And just as happenstance, I was in Park City and as a part of a patient advocacy training program and had the opportunity to meet with Randy Burt at the Huntsman Cancer Institute and several other team. Not only were they really supportive, but they volunteered to come onto our board and help steer and advise us on how best to affect the community. And it kind of made the decision really easy for us to move out here to be close to our board members and to be able to. They have a very large patient base. The Mormon community has a because of the records they keep, it's really easy to track hereditary diseases back many, many generations, and so you can get a really good database off of that. So they have about 600 FAP patients just coming through the doors at Huntsman Cancer that we now have access to that we can meet with.
Travis, I'm wondering if you are they able to detect whether or not you have the gene, or is it just assumed that if it's been passed down through generations of your family, you're going to have it, you may as well not mess around? Because I know they can, you know, like with certain types of breast cancer, mm-hmm. they can identify that BRCA gene. Mm-hmm. Can they with this?
They can. Myriad actually has a genetic test for FAP, and it's actually been recently developed and is unfurled. Like it's, and it's really exciting. They can test for it. But, you know, classically, when I was younger, it was only detected clinically. And so you would generally, if there was a history of it, they would look for blood in the stool, and then they would start doing colonoscopies, and what you would see are hundreds of polyps, or in my case, my doctor said my colon looked like shag carpeting, just nothing but polyps on top of polyps.
Okay, and so those polyps can start growing at a very young age.
Absolutely. There are very aggressive strains of FAP. There are more passive strains. There's even an attenuated strain that you won't get polyps until your 40s. But in my case, by the time I was 15, my colon was completely passivated with polyps. And whereas, you know, when you're reaching your 50s, you have a chance of getting a polyp, and you're supposed to go for your colonoscopies. Each one of those polyps may have a 20% chance of becoming cancerous. When you have FAP, each polyp has a 100% chance of causing cancer. And when you have thousands of them, once you get to the point where the endoscopist can't just remove them, colectomy is the way to go.
And you're right, it can be pretty aggressive. One of our board members, she has FAP, and so does her son, and he's had multiple procedures, and he's only 4.
Well, let's talk about what your goal and your mission is with the foundation and how you help and address the needs of the people, your target audience. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what about this 4-year-old? What would you do in the case of this child?
Yeah, we would really like to improve the not only instill hope, but also improve quality of life for those who have it. You can't cure it at this point, but you can have a better quality of health care. For most people, including this particular patient that I mentioned, he is being seen by a doctor for whom this is the only family that doctor's ever seen with this disease because it is so rare. Travis's whole family was treated similarly by a family doctor and a GI who knew no other family and did the best that he could with his resources. However, Travis's quality of life, our situation 2 years ago, changed dramatically once we came under the care of a specialist. And there are just over 30 centers around the country who specialize and have doctors who've been doing research on this for years and genetic counselors who help you understand the hereditary component. And if we can educate both patients and doctors to understand that the specialist exists and empower patients with the tools to advocate for their own health care, they can improve their quality of life. They can get proper treatment prophylactically to improve their quality of life so that they can be healthy. You know, Travis has always been a very active person, and he is again because of excellent health care. So we want to enable other people around the country to have that quality of health care.
And are those 30 centers scattered around the country, or are they kind of collected in one area?
They are spread out.
They're pretty spread out. There's kind of a dead area in the center of America, but right now, Huntsman Cancer Institute is the catch basin for about 6 states. They're fairly spread out, but even still, you have a patient. So, like this patient we're talking about, she lives in Huntsville, and the closest care unit is in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not uncommon for patients to have to drive maybe 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
And so, we have a webinar coming up that Randy Burt at Huntsman Cancer is going to be presenting at, and Jewel Samadar, that is actually geared towards educating generalists on how to work with specialized care units so that. And understanding that the specialized care units won't steal their patients, that they just want to be able to have the patient come to them once, kind of create a baseline, send them back with a protocol of care so they get a higher standard of care. right. and to help the patient or help the GI to know how to better take care of their patients.
So that addresses the care side of it. What about the emotional side?
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a disease like this, I always refer to Maslow's hierarchy. And people are really at different levels. And right now, we decided to tackle just working with the educational and social aspects and empowering patients with a vocabulary so they understand what's going on with their body and being able to create a conduit for communication with patient mentors so that rather than being exposed to patients that are just, emoting the worst aspects of their disease, being able to foster healthy interaction. And so if you can just do that, if you can just teach them how to talk intelligently and understand the disease and be able to speak in a healthy manner with other people.
How big a step is that?
The hardest step is actually accessing the community. These right. diseases, I didn't know anyone outside my family that had this disease until I was 36 years old. So you're really fighting against connecting with the patients and then learning. And because they're so diffusely spread, you really have to rely upon the internet for interaction.
And the catharsis when he finally did meet other people, it was great. We actually have pictures. So he went to a conference where he was able to meet other patients. And one of the first things these three tall gentlemen did was compare belly scars. So to be able to see another adult and talk about scars and symptomology and things, it was cathartic for him. And we want to allow other patients to do that. And definitely the internet and social media will be the tools that we use. And we're very lucky that we have several genetic counselors who have agreed to facilitate online monthly meetups for patients so that they can connect online if they're in a rural area where they might not meet other people.
So what do you see future, your way to meet the future needs or meeting the needs, additional needs in the future that the foundation would like to address? Because obviously you're hitting a number of the needs and you feel like you're addressing the quality of life issues with these people, but there's something that you're not addressing, which is kind of that therapeutic side of this whole thing. Is that in the future as well?
Go ahead.
Well, regarding the therapeutic, yeah, the more patients we can get in front of genetic counselors, and they are trained medically to not only understand the symptomology better than any other medical professional when it comes to hereditary disease, but also the counseling aspect. So ideally, we would love to make that available not only in these specialized care units across the country, but allow telemedicine potentially so that they have access to genetic counselors.
Okay, let's move on to, you have a couple of events coming up, and you were going to come in to talk about your It Takes Guts 21-Day Challenge, which is wonderful because we have so many fundraisers around here, and we go and we give our money, and maybe there's a silent auction, but this one's kind of a give-back type of fundraiser, which I like. It's you pay your entry fee into the 21-Day Challenge, which is $30, and then you, whoever out there, in our listening area, embarks on a challenge. And it can be anything, and it's not related to colorectal cancer. It's just some kind of challenge. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it started because of Travis. When he got healthy, he decided he wanted to prove himself to himself.
Whenever I first recovered from my illness, I was pretty aggravated, actually. It had been like 6 months of really non-exercise, non-physical exertion, and facing this the idea that my quality of life was going to decrease, like my father's and my cousins and my uncles, and it really scared me. So I wanted to ride around Lake Michigan, and I wanted to raise money, and I wanted to do something with it. And so we kind of took that idea of a grand challenge, which really will inspire patients who have been hit hard to make a great big change in their life. And what we wanted to do is create a way that the people that we serve can also be involved in the fundraiser. So rather than running a 5K for someone, they can actually do whatever, they can do something that meets them at their level. So, and this was really the brainchild of Sean. She took this 20 with the bike ride around like Michigan and just did something really awesome with it.
We're pretty excited. So people, we're working with Whole Foods, and they are going to provide online nutrition support for those who are doing nutrition. So for example, we have some people who want to improve their diet. very generically speaking. And so for 21 days, they're doing something, and we're pushing them to be specific. We have one woman who's going to eat a salad every day for 21 days, and then somebody who's going to quit eating fast food. And for them, this is their health challenge right now. And then other people who are preparing for a half marathon, they're doing something aggressive. And then those who are homebound, and we have a woman who is writing 21 – for 21 days, she's writing a letter to a different friend or family member expressing gratitude.
Are these challenges shared anywhere?
They are, yeah. So what you as Lynn mentioned, you register and you get your It Takes Guts t-shirt, and then you go online to our Facebook page or our website, and there you will receive support from other people. You post your challenge, and people are giving each other all sorts of feedback and advice and encouragement already, and it hasn't even started. So just for the people who've already declared their challenge, it's been fun.
So nobody's registered, but people
have? Oh, yeah, they've registered.
So how many have registered so far?
So far, 50 people have registered, and we have 300 people on our Facebook page talking about it, saying, as soon as I figure out my challenge is going to be, then I'll go register.
Okay, and so the challenge is October 20th through November 9th.
Right.
So you have some time. When it's the 9th today, so you have a little time to figure it out. But what a wonderful thing to embark on, and also get support. And you know, it just sounds like fun. So your website is hcctakesguts.org. Okay, and well, all the information is online, so.
It is, and if people want locally to participate, on October 20th, Sunday morning from 8 to 10, Whole Foods is sponsoring a healthy breakfast. And then at the breakfast, we have several local businesses who've donated gift cards that we'll be raffling away. And everyone who comes will receive a one-day pass to the field house so that they can start their health challenge.
All right. Well, Shawnee and Travis, it's been nice to have you in the studio, and welcome to the community. And sounds like you're doing great things.
I really appreciate it.
All right. This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. We'll be right back with Dr. Brad Lester of Mountain Sage Natural Health. This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch.
Hola, soy Jorge, uno de los anfitriones de Cada Domingo. Escuche Cada Domingo en KPCW 91.9 FM. Todos los domingos en las tardes de las 7 a las 10 p.m. Tenemos música, información de la comunidad y perdidos y encontrados. Por favor, denle like o me gusta a la página Facebook de Cada Domingo. Cada domingo, solo en Park City, solo KPCW. Hi, I'm Jorge, one of the hosts for KPCW's Cada Domingo. You can hear Cada Domingo every Sunday evening on KPCW 91.9 FM from 7 to 10 p.m., where you can hear music, community information, and lost and founds. Please like the KPCW Cada Domingo Facebook page. Cada Domingo, only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Hi, this is Catherine Simos, Vice President and Branch Manager at Grand Valley Bank, Frontier Branch in Park City, a proud supporter of KPCW. Our team can help you with all of your banking needs, from checking and savings accounts to business lending. We have Heber Valley Bank in Midway and Heber, and Grand Valley Bank Frontier Branch in Park City. GrandValleyBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, this week, October 7th through 13th, is the first Naturopathic Medicine Week. And it was just declared recently, I believe, but here to tell us more about it is Dr. Brad Lester from the Mountain Sage Natural Health and Acupuncture Clinic, LLC. Is that the right title?
Center. Yeah, that's the right title. We go by Mountain Sage in general. That's our DBA.
Yeah.
We like to make things long, so we have everything in there.
That's right.
So, yes, the Congress, the Senate made a, what do they call it?
How did they do that?
Yeah.
So it's a resolution. It was actually done on September 10th, so it was, we just in snuck time. In here, which is great. And so they actually, the resolution, so it's resolution... Let me see. I think it's 221, so a Senate resolution. And what they said here, so the resolution is, first, it designates the week of October 7th through the 13th as Naturopathic Medicine Week. It recognizes the value of naturopathic medicine in providing safe, effective, and affordable health care. And it encourages the people of the United States to learn about naturopathic medicine and the role that naturopathic physicians play in preventing chronic and debilitating illness and conditions. And so it's a really nice thing.
Well, that's a nice resolution to have passed, and why don't you just segue right into that and tell us about naturopathic medicine and what you do at Mountain Sage?
What's nice? First, I'll talk about naturopathic medicine, and then I'll kind of talk a little bit about what we do at our clinic. So naturopathic medicine, it has six main principles that we follow. Right now, there are, I believe, we have, in the United States, there are five schools now that are accredited, and it's a four-year postgraduate program. You have to have a bachelor's of science pretty much to get in. You know, you have your basic pre-med requisitions, chemistry and physics and biology and things like that. And then you come in, and there's one in Washington. It's Bastyr University. There's one in Oregon, National College of Naturopathic Medicine. There's one in Illinois that actually just started. I think it was maybe a year or two ago. It's in Chicago. It's called National University of Health Sciences. It was a chiropractic school that has just opened up a program in naturopathic medicine. And there's one in it's in Arizona, Tempe, Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. And then there's one in Connecticut, University of Bridgeport. And then there's a couple other schools that are in Canada as well, which is pretty nice.
So, Brad, I wanted to ask you before you go on, sorry to interrupt, just wondering, you know, it's a field that is exploding and has gained, obviously with this new resolution, a lot more credibility. And I'm wondering, is it just the awareness of the public towards desiring something more natural to heal, or is it that the field has morphed in some way?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. The profession itself has been around for hundreds of years, and with the advent of penicillin, the naturopathic medicine kind of went by the wayside. There's a lot of surgeries, penicillin, antibiotics came out, and it was more, let's fight the disease. And naturopathic medicine focuses more on building the person so that the person can heal themselves. And so...
Is it kind of that concept of wellness versus treating something that's wrong?
So it's called allopathic medicine, which is disease-orientated medicine. So you look at the disease, where is it coming from? Let's fight the disease, okay? Naturopathic medicine is... treating the person through nature, or it's nature's diseases. So we actually are focusing more on how the person interacts with their environment, how the person interacts with themselves, and we're looking at it as more of a whole. Let me just give you the six
principles. Are you seeing
people
who have issues, who have problems that they want addressed, or are you seeing people who want to reach a higher level of wellness?
Both.
Okay.
Is there
a philosophy within naturopathic medicine?
There is, yes. Yeah. There's. These are the principles that I was about to address. So people come to me often. It's, I've been to every single doctor. I've had all these tests. Nobody knows what's going on with me. I can't seem to get better. I feel really bad. I have no energy. My digestion's horrible, whatever. Lists and lists of things that are going on. What's wrong with me? What's going on? And my answer is usually nothing's wrong with you. It's just that we're out of balance. We need to find the balance. Okay. And where is the balance point that we need to focus on? Okay. A lot of times, yes, there is a disease process that we need to fix so that we can find some balance, or we need to band-aid it. But let me tell you what our principles are, and this will help address some of this as well. So there are six principles of naturopathic medicine. The first one is first, do no harm. Okay. So we want to utilize the most natural, the least toxic therapies to get our desired results. And so when people are coming in and they say, yes, I have a virus or something like that, and we really want to, you know, hey, here's some nice vitamin C. Let's work on your diet. Stop eating your sugar. Stop is stop drinking the alcohol, doing things like this that will
sugar
cause
sugar and alcohol. Then did you hear that?
So first, do no harm, right? Most natural, least invasive, least toxic therapies. Next thing, healing power of nature. So we need to trust the body's wisdom to heal itself. We just need to give it the right resources and take out the blocks. Going back, coffee and alcohol. Yeah, you know, they're great. Yes, they're fun in certain times, certain instances. Coffee's great, has digestive qualities and all these things. And how are we using it? Are we using it first thing in the morning? Or are we having it after dinner and helping engage nice conversations after dinner or things like that? So re-looking at it, what are we doing? Nature has provided healing things for us. And everything out there has great qualities as well as bad qualities. And we're trying to find the balance. So the next one, identify and treat the cause. So yes, I have a skin rash. I could put cortisone on it. That would be treating the disease. What caused the skin rash? Was there an allergic reaction? Are we eating something that we shouldn't be eating? And this is a way that we detox. So really, what is the cause? Not necessarily the symptom, but look beyond the symptoms. Find the underlying cause. Doctor is teacher. Okay, my job is to educate patients and the ways to achieve and maintain optimal health. And this goes back to chronic diseases. We, in the United States, 75% of healthcare costs are due to preventable chronic illnesses, including like high blood pressure, which affects 88 million people in the United States. Diabetes, 26 million people in the United States. And two-thirds of the adults in the United States are overweight or obese, which lead to other risks, serious health conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, arthritis, depression. List goes on and on. And these are all preventable diseases, things that our choices, our balance point is off, and we choose certain things. So my job is to help educate people to find and maintain optimal health. And then the last two, treat the whole person. So I'm treating the person. I'm not treating the disease. This person has feelings. This person has a life. And we need to take that in consideration. So the body is an integrated whole in all of its physical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions. And we need to take account all these different aspects of people's lives. And then prevention is the best cure, and which was great. Our previous talk on familial
colon
cancers, mm-hmm. where it was great. Prevention is the best cure. And if we can educate and identify what's going on in life, that's what we do as doctors.
Brad, I'm wondering the Affordable Care Act, how that's coming in. It may seem a little off topic, but is that helping you out? Are you going to be able to be a provider, and will there be reimbursement for your services? Because I know in the past there hasn't always been.
You're right. Yeah. Right now, 17 states are licensed with naturopathic medicines. So us being physicians, primary healthcare physicians, only 17 states right now. So it's the coasts, East and West Coast, and then there's a couple states in between.
How about Utah? Where do we stand?
Utah has been licensed for, I think, about 20 years now, which is great. And we have a great formulary. We are able to prescribe or, in my case, often take away medicines that people are on, and getting people to more natural alternatives, and or just finding the cause and trying to remove that, and then we get to wean people off of medications. I think that the Affordable Health Care Act actually will be very beneficial for naturopathic medicine, and I think that our profession still is growing. We had a big dieback in the 50s and 1950s, so right when penicillin came out. And since then, it's been growing, coming back. And I think like the 70s really helped push us back into a little bit more of the mainstream. And we keep coming. So
yeah, good. Now, you also wanted to talk about a lunch seminar that you're putting on. Is that not happening? Or
yes, that was happening yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Okay, it would have been great.
Yeah. Okay, is it going to be a monthly thing?
I don't know. That might be a nice thing to do if we start doing a monthly thing. I think that it was great. This is more of a seasonal thing, and I'd like to have more of a seasonal thing. So we're moving into fall and then into winter, and we talked a little bit about food preparations, how we can change what we're doing just to help our body transition from season to season. And each season's different, and that's what's so nice about living here in this four-season environment. We get the snow and the cold, we get the warm and the sun, and our bodies always have to adjust. And so as we walk through the changing of the seasons, it's great to aid our body in helping it move along smoothly and balanced.
Okay. How can we contact you for an appointment?
For an appointment, you could call our office at 655-SAGE. That's 435-655-7243. Or you could reach us at our website, which is mountainsagenaturalhealth.com, or email at doctor@mountainsagenaturalhealth.com. Everything is nice and long. Yeah. As you spell it all out. And
you can Google it. Just do Mountain Sage Park City,
yes,
and you'll find it.
You can look up Brad Lester or Babby Lester, and I think we come up pretty quickly.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Brad Lester, thanks so much for your time today, and congratulations. It sounds like it's a big victory for the naturopathic health field in general to have this resolution.
Thank you very much.
This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. We'll be right back.
Relive the wonder of Christmas on the North Pole Express at the Heber Valley Railroad. It runs November 29th through December 24th and includes a magical 90-minute train ride to the North Pole. On the way, you'll be served hot cocoa and cookies from Santa's elves and play games. Santa will give each child a special gift. Tickets are at HeberValleyRR.org or by calling 435-654-5601. Heber Valley Tourism, a nonprofit organization, is a believer in Santa and KPCW.
Thanks for listening to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I want to thank our guests today. We spoke with Stacy Domalski and Tony Oros, Dueling Cheese, and also our guest that is just leaving the studio, Dr. Brad Lester of Mountain Sage Natural Health, and then Shawnee and Travis Bray. They are doing the fundraiser called It Takes Guts, a 21-day challenge. We also want to thank our underwriters.
We do. Stein Erickson Lodge and Spa, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, the Park City Clinic, Park Meadows Country Club, Grand Valley Bank, San Francisco Design, and Prudential Utah Real Estate.
Very good. And tune in tomorrow for Cool Science Radio. As our listeners know, every day is Public Affairs Hour from 9 to 10. Tomorrow on Cool Science Radio, we'll be speaking with Chris Johnson. He's the director of Scientific Computing and Imaging Institute, and he'll talk to us about all kinds of wild bioengineering that is taking place at the University of Utah. Also, we'll speak with David Epstein. He's the author of The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance. And he'll be a great guest. As always, you can go online to kpcw.org to look for archive shows.
And for Cool Science, Lynn, when you say us and we, you mean?
I do. I mean John Wells and me. And we'll be right back.
2 days in a row.
That's right.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Park City Nursery. For 30 years, we know what grows. ParkCityNursery.com. VaultHomeLoans.com. Purchase and refinance mortgages. Conventional FHA and VA, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Lost and Found. Traffic, weather, and local stories, only in Park City, only on KPCW. This is KPCW Park City.